my notes here. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. And we have looked at the Lord's, what we normally call the Lord's Prayer, pero ang tawag natin ay model prayer or pattern prayer. And really, it's not meant to be prayed sacrosanct. It's not meant to be mentioned repetitiously as though praying is a ritual or a ceremony, something formal. No, prayer is simply talking to God. It's communication with the Lord. That's all prayer is. And we're just asking the Lord for petition for different things. And we include in prayer, we include invocation, that's addressing the Lord, communicating to Him. Generally, our prayers are directed to God the Father through, in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So it's Trinitarian, it's triune. And we go to God in invoking Him, addressing Him, and then we adore Him. There's that close relationship with the Lord, worshiping Him, praising Him, thanking Him. And then, of course, the majority of our prayers are made up of petitions. And there's petition for daily bread, relying upon the Lord to supply for our needs. Then there's petition for forgiveness of sins, the daily cleansing that we need. If we need daily bread, we need daily cleansing. And then there's also the daily victory over sin and over temptation and over evil. And then after the petitions and asking all that, we go to God giving Him glory and praise and reminding ourselves that we direct our prayers and make them God-focused. All of our requests, we surrender them to the will of the Lord. So those are the things that we've learned as we conclude this series. In Luke chapter 11, it says, "And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So here, Jesus is not in the Sermon on the Mount, like Matthew chapter 6. Here he's in a home, most likely his own home, semi-private. He's with the disciples, and they saw him praying, and they asked him to teach them how to pray. And then he taught them. And so he gives them basically what we went through line upon line here, the model prayer. So as we conclude this series, I want to talk about problems in prayer or prayer problems. And I want to do that as we conclude because there are no exemptions in problems with prayer. We all go through to some degree or another, problems when it comes to prayer. And I'd like to have some Bible answers to practical problems in prayer. Practical lessons addressing difficulties in prayer. And of course, if anything else, if you don't struggle in prayer, well, praise the Lord, that's great. I hope this will be an encouragement to you to keep on praying and to keep on seeking the Lord. Now, if you're struggling with prayer, maybe some of these Bible lessons will be a help to you. Okay, so let's first of all, we're going to look at three things. Number one, I want to look at the habit of prayer. The habit of prayer. You know, prayer is one of the marks of a true believer. How do we know that someone is a true believer in the Lord? Well, do you pray? Do you pray? Genesis chapter 4, verse 26 is the earliest, perhaps, one of the earliest record of prayer or of men praying to the Lord. Genesis chapter 4, verse 26 says it like this. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Enos means to call. To call. Enos, to call. So he named one of his sons Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So the godly line of Seth, you remember the seed promise, the godly line of Seth, his sons, the sons of the Lord, the sons of God, the godly men, sought the Lord in prayer. So early in the Bible, it's believers who engage in prayer. It's believers who pray. God hears the prayer of the humble. But what about the wicked? Their lives are marked by not praying. Remember that. The unsaved is known for no prayers. Look at Psalm 14. Go over to the book of Psalm. Look at Psalm 14, verse number 4. Psalm 14, verse number 4. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord? They call not upon the Lord. So the godly line of Seth, they call upon the Lord. Believers pray. And the wicked, the unsaved, we don't expect them to pray because they call not upon the Lord. When Saul in the New Testament, the persecutor of the church who turned preacher, when Saul got saved, one of the first things that God and Ananias found him doing was prayer. Look at Acts chapter 9. Go over to Acts chapter 9 and verse number 11. Acts chapter 9, verse number 11. This is interesting. One of the marks of a believer is prayer. Acts 9, 11. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. So God directed Ananias to go to this house because there's a man over there, and what he's doing is he is praying. So does God pay attention to us when we pray? Well, I believe he does. He knew who Saul was. He knew his name. He knew what street he lived on. He knew his address. He knew where he was from, Saul of Tarsus. And he knew what he was doing. He was praying. So God knows when we pray. And it's a mark of faith. It's a mark of a believer to be engaged in prayer. It's described in 1 Corinthians. We'll go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Notice how Paul worded this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth. So the Corinthian church, a visible local assembly of baptized disciples, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. So he's talking about the saved church members. The saints, those who are in Christ, not necessarily in the church. You can be in church, but doesn't mean you're in Christ. Okay, so make sure that you are in Christ, not just in church. Because if you're not saved, then that's going to be a problem, okay? But those who are in the church of Corinth and those who are saved, those who are saints, called to be believers, called to be saints, it says here, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So all, everywhere, people calling upon the name of the Lord. That is basically saying the mark of a believer is prayer. So form a habit of prayer, especially as a born-again believer. It shouldn't be hard to pray. Now, before you got saved, guess how you got saved? You called upon the name of the Lord. You asked the Lord to save you. See, that's a prayer. You confess that you are a sinner, and then you ask the Lord for mercy. You ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life. And you ask the Lord to make you saved, born again, changed, new creature. See, prayer is a very natural thing for a believer. And it doesn't have to be fancy, but you need to pray. You make sure you develop a habit of prayer. Now, secondly, number two, prayer is the most neglected duty. Prayer is the most neglected duty. This is very sad. Very, very sad. Most people don't pray. Remember that. Most people do not pray. Remember what Romans chapter 8, verse 7 says. The carnal mind is enmity against God, so don't expect the unsaved people to pray. They don't pray. The Bible says, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So we don't expect unsaved people to go to church, to read the Bible, to be in prayer, because they can't, the Bible says. Now, on the other hand, Christians, when we pray, we have confidence when we pray that God hears us. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. So the Lord hears the prayers of His children, those who are in Him. That's a blessing. That's a privilege. And we can have confidence knowing that when we bow our heads and pray, that God is hearing us, that God is listening to us. Another problem is that other people make prayer a ritual. They say the same things over and over again. They formalize the prayer. They ritualize the prayer in direct contradiction to the scriptures. Look at Matthew chapter 6. God doesn't want us repeating prayers, vain repetition, the Bible says. Matthew chapter 6, and look at verse number 7. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. So again, it's not the most powerful prayer, is not the longest prayer. It's the most sincere prayer. Even if it's a short prayer, it still moves the hand of God Almighty. So don't formalize prayer. Don't ritualize prayer. Don't make it a ceremony. Don't put a lot of bells and whistles on it. Just pray. And then here's another problem with prayer. People pray amiss. That's a unique word. That's a King James word, praying amiss. Look at James chapter 4, verse 3. Certainly a problem with prayer is not praying according to the will of God, praying to consume things upon our own lust, or upon our own selves. James chapter 4, verse number 3. The Bible says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, and then that ye may consume it upon your lusts. That means you're not hitting the target. You're not praying in a way that pleases the Lord. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you're praying for something else that's contrary to the will of God. You're praying amiss. You're missing the target. In essence, that's what it's saying. So with all this trouble in prayer, I want to share with you, number three, last but not the least, some suggestions for the believers concerning prayer. Here's some helpful suggestions concerning prayer, all right? Number one, suggestion number one, confess sins. Confess sins. Look at Psalm 66. Psalm 66, verse number 18. Psalm 66 and verse 18. Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You see that? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So the first thing that I would say is a hindrance to prayer is sin. And usually when a Christian's in sin, they're neglecting prayer. One of the first things that a backslider, a Christian who backslides, one of the first things they neglect is prayer. And so if you want to get right with the Lord, the first thing you need to do is pray. And in your prayer, you confess your sin. You name your sin and you reject your sin, you forsake your sin, and you agree with the Lord concerning your sin. And that's confessing. Confessing just simply means to say what God says about it. So if God calls it an abomination, you ought to call it an abomination. If God says it's a iniquity, then you ought to call it iniquity. If he calls it a transgression, you should agree with the Lord. Yes, this is against your law. Agree with God against your sin. That's confession. There's that forsaking and then restitution. If you have to do restitution, do restitution. Correct it. Confess your sin. Otherwise, the Lord will not hear. Okay, the Christian who's filled with sin, filled with self. First things first, you got to clean house. Okay, got to clean your heart. Okay, then I would say number two, pray on even if you don't feel like praying. Look at Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 10. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. I mean, it's not like when you pray, you have great energy and that you're really pouring it out on the Lord. There are times when, I mean, it's just like pulling teeth and it's so against the flesh because the flesh just wants to avoid prayer. And sometimes you don't feel like praying, but you should still pray anyway. Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? You're walking in darkness, you don't have light, but you're still a child of God. Look at what the Bible says. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Yes, it could be dark all around you. Yes, you could be consumed with trouble and consumed with sorrow and consumed with trouble. But yet, the Bible says, trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Keep on praying. Keep on asking and seeking the Lord, even if you don't feel him in your heart and you don't sense him. Trust God in the dark. Trust him when your head is cloudy. Continue to pray anyway. Your heart is hurting, full of sorrow. Trust in the Lord and pray on, pray through, continue in prayer. Remember the words of Paul, cease not to pray, continue in prayer. Sometimes we think prayer is a long, engaged process, but it could just simply be looking to the Lord and asking him to help you real quick. Look at Nehemiah. This one's a great example of instant prayer. And it wasn't long, neither. It didn't take a long time. So Nehemiah chapter 2. This one's an interesting passage. Nehemiah had a burden in his heart. He wanted to establish Jerusalem. And he had a responsibility as the King Artaxerxes' cupbearer. That's, you know, Nehemiah. That's his job. And he had a sad face. And the king asked Nehemiah, why are you forlorn? Why are you so sad? And look at verse number 4. Look at verse number 4. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse number 4. And the king said unto me, for what dost thou make this? Dost thou make request? He said here, so I prayed to the God of heaven immediately. So Nehemiah had an audience with the king, and the king said, what do you want? And Nehemiah said, Lord, help me. Lord, I'm going to answer this guy and give me your wisdom. Give me your strength and help me real quick. That was an instant prayer. It wasn't long. And then look at verse 5. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, if thy servant had found favor in his sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And so in conversation, Nehemiah prayed to God. In conversation. So again, prayer doesn't have to be necessarily long, drawn out. It could be an instant prayer. And the Lord receives that. The Lord answered it. And by the way, Nehemiah was used by God to build the walls of Jerusalem, just like he wanted it to, that I may build it. What an answer to prayer, to instant prayer. Well, I would imagine Nehemiah probably prayed for a long time concerning the will of God. And then in that moment that the king said, what do you need? What's wrong with you? What do you want? Oh, and then he prayed real quick and then opened his mouth. And the Lord answered that. So some suggestions here. Develop a prayer list. Develop a prayer list. If you don't have a prayer list, sometimes you can get distracted in prayer. You may not know what to pray for next or how to pray or whatever. But if you write it down and you develop a prayer list, you can have concentration in your prayer, and it prevents a lack of concentration and distractions. So you're not going to be distracted when you have names and needs and a notebook, and you just write down people's needs and people's prayer requests. And in the morning, you look at your notes and you pray to the Lord and you say, Lord, bless this person, bless that person, bless this need, bless that need. It helps with being thorough. Tell you what, you won't miss a thing if you write it down. It helps you with structure and purpose. Instead of just sitting there and just wondering what else to say to the Lord, you can have structure and purpose. So really developing a prayer list, and it doesn't have to be fancy. Just as long as you have a pen and paper, pencil and paper. You know, some of you use tablets and stylus, whatever. Whatever works, just make sure you jot it down. And you can have structure and purpose, thoroughness and concentration when you pray with a prayer list. You can pray with scripture. You should learn some of the Psalms because some of the Psalms help you to pray. They teach you to pray. Psalms give expression to prayer and praises. Even music, you know, we should use Psalms for singing. But anyway, read the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, loaded with prayers. Book of Colossians and Philippians. And these epistles teach you how to pray. Look at Proverbs. And these are wisdom literature. They have great prayers in there. Psalms, I think of Psalms. Practice praying with scripture. Matthew Henry wrote a book called A Method of Prayer. A Method of Prayer. And you know what Matthew Henry did? He listed out ways to adore God and worship Him using scripture. Ways to thank Him using scripture. Ways to petition and ask for things using scripture. And it's a fantastic book. If you ever get a chance to own it, you ought to own A Method of Prayer by Matthew Henry. I think there's like over 500 scripture references. And it teaches you how to pray. It's a fabulous book. And it uses the scriptures. So you can use the scriptures when you pray. Put unwanted thoughts and feelings aside when you pray. Okay? Either confess unwanted thoughts and forsake them before you pray so that you don't dwell on it. Or if you think you're warranted and justified for having unwanted thoughts and feelings during prayer, maybe you're angry or something or upset, lay that aside. Get rid of it before you pray, so that you are not distracted in your mind concerning prayer. Guard your prayer life. Guard your prayer life. These times that we live in ought to be times ought to be praying times. You know, I don't know about you, but this whole situation ought to cause us more and more to pray more and more. We should pray more and more. What kind of Christians should we be? If anything else, we ought to be praying Christians. We ought to be praying Christians. Last verse, Luke chapter 18. Go over to Luke chapter 18 as we conclude the series on prayer. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1. If you've not been praying, I want you to start praying, okay? And if you have been praying, I want you to continue in prayer, okay? But look at Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end. Here's the purpose. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. So if you're not a praying Christian, you are a fainting Christian. You will faint. But if you're a praying Christian, that's pleasing to the Lord, and God will give you the victory, and it'll cause you to pray some more. Nothing makes you pray more than answered prayers. Answered prayers have a way of breeding more prayers, you know. And so continually pray, depending on the Lord. We've learned some things about prayer this time, and we need to continue praying. If we do one thing, again, we want to be praying Christians, all right? Guard your prayer life. Make it the business of the Christian life. Prayer is our main business, is our main focus. When you get bad news, pray. When you get good news, pray and praise, you see. When you're not feeling good, pray. When your friend is not feeling good, listen, if you love someone, the best thing you can do for them is pray. If you really love them, pray for them. Prayer is the key, all right? And I said it last time, I'll say it again. The devil, he doesn't care how many messages you listen to and what church you attend. That's not a big thing to him, just as long as you're not praying. But if you begin to pray, you'll be blessed by the Lord. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the great privilege and duty of prayer. We certainly don't deserve to have an audience with you. We certainly are not worthy to be counted your children. But we thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus Christ that covers us. We thank you that because of his blood, we can get rid of sin. And we can have an open line of communication and access to your throne. Father, we stand boldly in prayer, not because of who we are, but because of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray that you would be glorified in our midst. Lord, I pray that if there are some who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that they would truly come to know the Lord as their Savior. And if those of us who are Christians, that we would engage in prayer. And if we have been, we would continue and increase in our prayer life. Help us to guard it, Lord. Our connection with you, our walk with you, our fellowship with you begins in prayer. So, Father, we pray that you would have your will and way and that your word would be magnified, Lord, through this message. We love you. We ask your blessing on us and help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.